Their hesitant resolve broke, and what's more, they started to climb into the wags. Iron shackles lay on the floor, and they chained themselves without instructions, knowing it would be the last free act of their short lives, but having no other choice. As the wags started rolling away, the babies wailed as the white hairs held them tight. Nobody left in the ville believed that they would ever see any of the departing villagers again. Not alive, anyway. Hooves pounding the misty ground, the companions rode hellbent for leather through the early Carolina morning. The Flat Rock Sekhmet had chased them for miles through the night, but Baron Polk had dealt fair and given the companions his best mounts. They easily outdistanced the older nags. However, soon after losing the Sekhmet, they began to hear the long howl of hunting dogs. Hounds were a lot faster than horses on a short pull, and the companions were forced to slow and try to stealthily evade the relentless dogs. JB glanced over his shoulder.
It's been a couple of hours since we heard them. I think we finally lost them.
Christy closed her eyes to listen hard.
Can't hear anything.
The breeze rustled the leaves on the trees, and a small animal was being eaten alive by something that purred, but nothing else. No barking dogs, no shouting riders.
I think we lost them.
Told you. Double back over creek, sprinkle black powder. Works good.
Why black powder?
Doc rolled uncomfortably to the gate of his animal. At least he still had enough for a few reloads, which was better than nothing. Reaching a creek, the companions reined in their mounts and let the wheezing animals drink for a while, before forcing them onward.
But they were still thirsty.
Dean stroked the sweaty neck of his pinto mare. She nickered in response, her long ears twitching happily.
Never let a horse drink its fill. Slows them down too much. They get enough to stay healthy, no more.
Should feed them soon. We left in such a rush we forgot to bring along feed.
Christy leaned forward as her mare daintily stepped over a pile of bricks. Tightening her thighs and holding onto the pommel of her saddle with both hands, Mildred leaned sideways and studied the grass rising from the low mist.
Plenty of grass around. It shouldn't hurt them too much to live on just summer grass for a while.
Ryan reined his stallion to a stop.
Okay, short break. No fire. Cold food only. Stay alert. We leave in 5 minutes.
Guiding the horses to a nice section of grass, the companions tethered the reins to bushes and tugged hard to make sure they were secure. Shaking themselves to adjust to the lack of weight on their backs, the horses relaxed and began chomping at the tender blades, munching contentedly. Opening his saddlebag, Dean took out an MRE envelope and ripped it open. Most of the food packets he dumped back inside the bag, but he kept the one marked creamed beef. Ripping off a corner, he sucked the food down and stuffed the empty foil back in the saddlebag. Loose trash on the trail would lead the dogs to them like bees to honey. Dean wiped off his mouth with a pocket rag.
Hey, Dad, can horses eat apples? There are some trees over there.
Sure can. Go gather a bunch. Doc, stay with him as cover.
Pulling up his pants, Doc stepped into view from behind a bush.
Certainly, my dear Ryan.
Doc splashed some water from a canteen onto his hands and washed quickly.
We shall need something to carry the succulent fruit. John Barrymore, may we borrow your hat, please?
Arching both eyebrows, J.B. lowered the self-heat he was eating from and turned slowly, but the man and boy were yards away and moving fast.
Old coot.
Reaching the trees, Doc stood guard while Dean knelt on the ground and, folding up the front of his shirt, started gathering apples. A plump one rolled away, and he made a successful catch. Doc held the Lamar ready.
None from there, dear boy. Too many bruised apples can give a horse cramps.
Okay.
Dean stood and emptied the fallen fruit from his shirt. Tucking the garment into his pants, Dean grabbed hold of some low branches and scampered up the trunk as if it were a ladder.
Ah, youth.
Doc removed a wedge of cheese from the pocket of his frock coat. It was hard and crunchy on the edges, but still edible. There was movement in the bushes. Doc dropped the cheese and aimed the Lamar, thumbing back the trigger. Then he spotted the squirrel nibbling an apple and withheld firing. The mini-ball from his weapon would leave nothing of the squirrel to cook for dinner. It was the one drawback of big-bore blasters. Game had to be at least as large as a fox, or it was a waste of ammo. Retrieving the cheese from the ground, Doc wiped it clean, cut away a suspicious area, and continued to eat. Dean spoke from the foliage.
You know, horses are like wags, aren't they? Got to constantly watch this and feed them that.
True words, lad. But I would love to meet the wag that could make more wags. I dare say humanity lost something important when we stopped riding.
Returning to the others, Dean passed out the apples, keeping a couple of the best for his mount.
Here, girl.
The pinto lifted its head and sniffed the offering, then took the whole apple in its mouth and started crunching.
Careful fingers. Can't see good. Take finger accidentally.
Jack fed the fruit to his mouth. The horse was a young, dappled stallion, lean muscles rippling under its coat.
I know. I watched Dad before doing mine.
Dean stroked his horse's neck.
Smart move.
Mildred came over and inspected the mare.
Damn, I thought she was limping. That's a bad cut on the fetlock. You better clean that with witch hazel before it gets infected.
Me?
Mildred went to her mount and came back with some bandages and a plastic bottle.
A rider tends his own horse. They'd trust you more that way.
She gave him the bottle and cloth rags. Speaking soft words, the boy tended the animal. It shook at the sting of the witch hazel, stomping its hooves, but he got the cut thoroughly cleaned and wrapped tightly. Suddenly, Christy stood and dropped the partially peeled apple from her grasp. Seconds later, howls sounded from the east.
Gaia, they found us.
Mount up.
Ryan rushed to his stallion. He checked the belly cinch, then climbed into the saddle. Shaking the reins free from the bush, he started off at a brisk canter. The rest did the same, then kicked their horses into a full gallop. Mildred held the pommel and bent low over her animal.
Thank God spurs haven't been rediscovered. Come on, girl, faster!
At top speed, the companions crossed a field, jumping over a low hedge and starting a flight of robins. Jack glanced over his shoulder.
Fuck! Give away position!
Angling away from the soaring birds, Ryan led the companions over some irregular terrain to where a broken expanse of a paved road peeked out from the grass. After 100 yards, Doc reached into his saddlebag and found his last container of black powder. Slowing to the rear of the pack, the old man leaned low in the saddle and shook it out, the wind spreading the powder into a fine spray. Stuffing the empty powder horn into a pocket of his frock coat, Doc slumped in the saddle, concentrating on staying mounted. The sloping land flew beneath the pounding hooves of the horses, the baying of the hounds rising and falling as the dogs found the companion's trail, lost it, and found it once again. Ryan heard the low moan of winds whistling in a ravine. Moving to the south, the warrior saw that the land was cracked wide alongside the weedy field. Slowing his mount, he trotted close to the edge. The division was shallow, only a sheer drop of 100 feet, but there was a bridge only a few hundred yards behind them. The structure was a box trestle, dripping with ivy and hanging moss. Older than pre-dark, it looked solid, and that was a gamble he was willing to take.
No way you can jump this.
Christy fought to retain control of her mount. The horse was trying to walk in a circle to get away from the chasm. She pulled on the reins to keep the animal under control.
Whoa, girl. Good girl. Easy does it.
Why should we jump? There's a bridge.
My point exactly. Once we're on the other side, nobody can follow us, especially the dogs.
Follow me!
Kicking his mount into a gallop again, he backtracked to the bridge and rode across to the other side. JB stopped near his friend.
We were headed north. Going to try for an ambush?
Better.
Ryan slid off his horse and headed toward one of the pack animals. Digging in the bags, Ryan found a hurricane lantern filled with oil, reeking of fish. JB ran his hand along the supporting beams.
Good dry timbers.
Set trap?
Jack held the reins in one hand, his Colt Python drawn to give cover. Far below, a riverbed was visible, but there was no sign of any water. Just bare gray stones and smooth black pebbles lying across the red clay bottom of the riverbed. Removing the flue, Ryan tipped over the lantern, spilling out the rancid oil.
No time for traps or bombs. Those dogs are too damn close.
And the Sekhmen right behind them.
Removing the wick from the lantern,